Now, for many years, scientists have known that viruses are the direct causes of some cancers. And probably the best described example is HPV, that's the human papillomavirus, which is linked to cervical cancer. But recently, researchers at Cambridge University uncovered evidence that viruses might be involved in the causation of a much wider range of cancers than we first thought. And one of the scientists behind that discovery is Dr. Stacey Efstathiou. He's with us now. Hello, Stacey.
Hi, Chris.
Firstly, Stacey, how do scientists actually think that viruses cause cancer in the first place?
Well, there are a number of different ways that viruses can cause cancer. From a historical perspective, if we look back maybe 100 years ago, it was first shown that if you took tumours from chickens, sarcomas, you could mash them up and take a filter which lacked any cells, inject it to a normal chicken, and it would develop a tumour. And it was subsequently shown that the virus responsible was a retrovirus. And retroviruses are kind of special viruses in that as part of their life cycle, they integrate into the host genetic material. And in that particular case, the virus encoded its own oncogene, which it had captured historically from a cellular proto-oncogene.
An oncogene being a gene that makes cells grow or causes cancer.
Causes proliferation of the cell. So that's one example of a virus causing cancer, the capturing of an oncogene and subsequent expression in a cell.
And they knew from that experiment that it had to be a virus, because if you mashed up the cells to destroy the cells, then the only thing that could survive that process, presumably, is a virus. Otherwise, it's too small.
Absolutely. So that kind of was a landmark discovery in that it was a filterable agent, a very small entity, a virus, which actually transmitted the tumour from chicken to chicken.
What's the benefit to a virus of transforming, making a cell become malignant in the first place?
Well, I guess you'd say that there isn't much of a benefit. I mean, these are accidents that happen. When a virus can't complete its normal lytic cycle, and as a byproduct of that, a tumour occurs. So many viruses encode genes which will push the cells into replication and cause cells to proliferate to help the virus be produced. But normally the outcome of that is death of the cell. Okay, so it's only in specific circumstances where you haven't got complete lytic destruction of a cell by a virus that a tumour can arise.
So in other words, the viruses are making things that make cells grow more because a cell that's growing more is good for a virus to grow in because growing cells are more metabolically active.
Absolutely.
But occasionally an accident happens and something goes wrong genetically which damages that cell's DNA or rearranges it in some way so it can become potentially malignant.
Absolutely. And a classic example of that you mentioned already is human papillomavirus, which causes cervical cancer. And it's a real rare event where one gets an integration of a papillomavirus, which is now that is not a normal part of the viral life cycle. And when integration happens, you can get expression of one or two of the viral genes, which cause cells to proliferate. But because the virus is integrated, it can't complete its normal life cycle, and the consequence is proliferation and tumour formation.
Integration being where the virus has put its genetic material inside the cell's genome.
Absolutely, yeah. That's right.
So that's all very well. We can go looking at tissues, and we can look for that bacteria. No, sorry, we can look for the viral hallmark in the cell's DNA. You've done some work now saying that actually if we just go looking for cells that bear a viral hallmark of having been damaged in this way, you find some, but actually there's evidence that viruses may be underlying a lot more in the way of cancers than we first thought.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this has been a long-standing issue in the field of virology, the so-called hit-and-run hypothesis of a tumour formation where a virus can enter a cell, express some genes, make a, say, change to a cell to cause it to become cancerous, but then disappear, actually be lost without trace from that tumour. But of course, how do you study that? It's a very difficult question to address. And so what we try to do is to experimentally establish a system where we could examine whether a virus could actually undertake a hit, i.e. enter a cell and express something, but then be cleared once a tumour had been initiated.
But obviously leaving a bit of a stink behind in the form of the genetic damage you were talking about that could make that cell cancerous.
Absolutely.
And if you went looking, you'd say there's no virus there, but the footprint is there nonetheless.
Exactly. So, you know, if the hit-and-run hypothesis is correct, of course, it may be that viruses could actually be associated with many more cancers than we currently appreciate because there's no means of associating that virus genetically with a particular tumour.
How did you do it?
Right, well, this was... Okay, so this was actually quite a tricky experimental procedure in which we used transgenic mice which had copies of an activated oncogene, but would only be activated once a virus which expresses a particular enzyme, which would engineered into the virus, was expressed in that cell to mediate activation of a cellular oncogene. Once we infected the mice, any cell that got hit by the virus, where you got expression of this enzyme which would then trigger this oncogene, that would induce a tumour. And so the question was, if we followed that tumour, was the virus always retained in that cell, or was there subsequent loss of the virus? And what we found was that if we looked at the tumours from animals, that inevitably the viral DNA had been lost from the tumours, but the tumours bore all the hallmarks of a virus having once been there. We took this study on further by showing that one could actually vaccinate these animals prior to delivery of this viral enzyme that we'd cloned into the virus and show 100% protection against the virus-induced tumours. So this was an experimental system demonstrating hit-and-run oncogenesis and showing that vaccination would be very effective in preventing tumour induction.
And just briefly, what do you think the implications are of this are then? This suggests that a lot of the cancers that we're saying are caused by other things, there may actually have, in the early evolution of that cancer, been a virus there causing this problem.
Sure. And so if one looks at certain cancers where a virus is sometimes associated but not always associated with the cancer, could it be that in those cancers where the virus has been lost, that there had been an initiating event at one time in the past? And, of course, the only way one can realistically prove this in the human population is to develop novel vaccines. So I think the impetus now is to put a lot more effort into the development of vaccines and to roll them out to see if we can actually prevent tumours which you wouldn't necessarily suspect of having a viral etiology.
Stacey, thank you. That's Dr. Stacey F. Stathew. He's from the Department of Pathology at the University of Cambridge, and he'll be with us for the rest of the programme. So if you have any questions about viruses and how viruses might be linked to cancer, you can tweet at Naked Scientists or send us an email, chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Keeping you abreast of the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and Kat Arney.
Now, still to come, we'll answer your questions about cancer, and Diana finds out if days are longer at the peak of a mountain in our question of the week.